You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lou Need, and today I have a special guest coming on the show. And let me tell you, my next guest believes in liberating busy people from the shackles of clutter and disorganization. Because when your home works, your life works. It's that simple, y'all. Today, I want to welcome to the show, Rachel Popworth. Rachel liberates busy people from any clutter around their home to actually help clear their mind. She has a psychology degree and many years of training and experience as a personal coach and a professional organizer. Rachel helps people save time and money, find things easily, sleep better, be happier, reduce their environmental impact, and live mentally and physically healthier lives. All through decluttering and organizing. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hey there, it's great to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on board. I want to talk about decluttering and organizing organization and how it gives peace of mind, how it saves money, and of course, how it saves time.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here because the topic of your podcast is like, it's perfect because morning routine, that is all about being organized in order to give yourself an easier life. That's my thing.
Yes, and being disciplined, right? Because it's one thing to set the goal, but if you can't see it through, it means nothing.
I mean, that's really true. But I think the key to being disciplined is to make it work in the first place. If it works for you, you're going to do it, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about clutter. How did you get into the clutter and working in with people to help them declutter their life and their homes?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story, really, because when I look back on it, I can see that everything in my life was telling me to do this, but I didn't see it for a very long time. So I had a mum who was super organized and also a teacher. And so she taught me to be decluttered and organized. And honestly, I thank my lucky stars every day for that. So I've always loved decluttering and organizing. And I went through my life and I got a psychology degree and I trained as a personal development coach. But in all this time, right, although I loved decluttering and organizing it, I was kind of embarrassed about all the clever systems that I set up around me to make my life easier. I didn't tell other people about them because I was afraid I'd get teased, you know, oh God, you're so OCD, or you must have too much time on your hand if you alphabetized your herbs and spices, you know? Mm-hmm. And then two things happened. The first was that I actually got out of control myself in my own home, even though I love decluttering and organizing and I'm a naturally organized person. Even I hadn't realized how much you have to keep on top of the way stuff keeps coming at us in these affluent societies that we live in. And I'd been in the same house for about 7 years, the longest I'd lived anywhere at that time. And I was running out of space in my cupboards. And so being someone who is naturally organized, this became like it really overwhelmed me and it was too much. And I did a complete declutter of my house. I went through every single thing that I owned, completely decluttered the house. And around the same time, I was looking to set up a business that totally came from my heart, that was really my thing. And I got a business coach and we did all these exercises about what is your thing. And everything was pointing at decluttering and organizing. And I was like, no. It can't be that. It can't be this thing that I'm actually embarrassed about. But anyway, because the message was so clear, I went ahead and did it. And it's been amazing because now, one, I make my living on something that is like, it is just almost like not like work for me. And two, I'm no longer hiding that side of my personality. Nobody teased me. You know, everybody was like, oh my God, you've got to come and help me. You've got to help my mom. You've got to help my friend. You know, everybody, at least most people struggle with clutter themselves. And if they don't struggle with clutter, they know plenty of people that do. So nobody teased me. And so now I feel self-expressed. I am self-expressed about something that I used to hide away. So it's been a really great journey.
It's freeing for you, it sounds like, right? Well,
the
one thing you feared is actually liberating you in every sense and allowing you to live your passion.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to hide it. I like what you said about it's scary how we accumulate things, mm-hmm. and you can clean up. 2 months later, you will find things start building up again. Well, it has a lot to do with the consumerism, right?
We just absolutely
buy so much, but we never let anything go. It's like
even if we don't buy stuff, you know, it just comes at you. The kids bring stuff home from school. You pick up stuff for free. You know, you go to a conference and you get handed a goodie bag of stuff. And when you do go to buy something, I honestly am someone who hardly ever buys stuff. And yeah, I needed some new pajamas, and that is something that I won't buy secondhand. So recently I went to buy a pair of pajamas, and they were on a buy two items, get a third one free offer. And so I ended up coming away with two pairs of pajama trousers when I'd only gone to buy one pair of pajama trousers and a pajama top. You know, hey, you can't move in these societies that we live in without accumulating stuff.
Yeah. And then you think about it, if it's a jar, you're putting stuff in it, then there's no, you know, it's a closed jar, right? You need that channel. Things got to go out, which means people say spring cleaning. I think they just move things around from one corner of the house to the next.
Well, that can certainly happen. We call it churning. When you think you're decluttering, or you're trying to declutter, but actually all you do is move stuff around from one place to the next. And we all do it to some extent. The analogy that I use actually is it's a car park. So if you've got cars coming into a car park, but you've never got any cars leaving, eventually there's going to be nowhere for the cars to park, and they're all going to start piling on top of each other. And you've got to address it from both ends. So you've got to get the cars going out. But if you've got too many cars coming in, more cars coming in than you can get out, then you've got to stop some cars coming in as well. So that's the analogy that I use.
Yeah, we don't do that enough. We don't let the cars out enough. We don't clean enough. We don't donate enough. We don't throw out enough. We don't have garage sales enough to actually declutter. And that affects our mental psyche. It affects how we approach business and our relationships. I actually have a personal story, because my last landlord was a hoarder. She would not admit to it, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. she lived in a house, and it was all big house. She lived alone, had no kids, never been married, but there was newspaper all over the place. She would accumulate, she would come home with things, and I mean, it's piled up to the window. You know, you can't mm-hmm. see out the window, but she had a studio to the back of the house that I lived in. And that was clean, because I kept it clean. That was mm-hmm. small enough that I kept it open. It had some French doors, really nice. But when you go inside her house, it's like, where do you turn? You can't turn, because mm-hmm. every table has stuff on it. There's chairs everywhere. But then I realized she was always cleaning. Every weekend mm-hmm. she got off work, she was like, oh, I got to clean around the house. And then she'll bring people over to help her clean around the house. But then what they did is they moved it from one corner to the next. And then,
I mean, I feel for her, and I feel for you, and for anyone who's kind of trying to live around that, because hoarding disorder is a really, really tough disorder. It's really hard.
It's tough. And that's why I wanted to ask you, is it psychological? Is it because that she has no kids and there's an attachment issue there? She's not married. Like, how do you correlate hoarding with psychological well-being?
Well, hoarding disorder is a mental health disorder in its own right. So from about 2013, it's been recognized as a mental health disorder in its own right. So when somebody's schizophrenic or they've got a personality disorder, we don't say, is that because something happened to them? Or is that because, I mean, for sure there can be environmental causes, there could be genetic causes for mental health disorders. But with hoarding, I noticed that people tend to say, you know, is it because, I don't know, they grew up in the war and they learned to not to waste things? Or is it because their parents moved a lot and so they never got to accumulate things? And I think it's a mistake to try and always trace it back to a cause. The fact is, it is a mental health disorder in its own right. Some people just have hoarding disorder. And I think what there is to do is deal with the hoarding disorder and not sort of try and attribute causes to it.
Okay. How do you deal with the disorder?
If I'm working with someone who has, who I suspect, I mean, I'm not qualified to diagnose, but obviously I've seen it a lot. And if I'm working with someone who I suspect has hoarding disorder, I always recommend that they have mental health support alongside working with me, because that's the kind of perfect dual approach. So they have mental health support to deal with the disorder, and then I will work with them on the practical side of things, the actual beginning to move stuff out of the house. And I mean, hoarding, in my experience, hoarding disorder varies as well. So you talk about the woman you're talking about there was keep, was doing her very best to keep everything very clean. I mean, it's hard when a place is very cluttered to clean it, but she was cleaning. Different people's hoarding disorder, in my experience, manifests in some in different ways. So some people's houses are quite squalid. You know, they may even have infestations, they may have vermin. Some people are really clean. Some people are really organized, and some people are really disorganized. Like, it doesn't, to me, I don't see that hoarding disorder is just one thing. It manifests in a lot of different ways. But anyway, I would be doing the practical side, so helping them to get organized and to get rid of some of the stuff. Sometimes you need other agencies involved as well. You might need housing involved, you might need social services involved, and a multi-agency approach is the way to address it.
Really? So you're looking at a holistic approach to this. You're not just going in and cleaning people's houses. You're not a high level cleaner. You are psychologically and mentally helping these individuals overcome this blockage of some sort.
Absolutely. I mean, all clutter, all external clutter is a manifestation of internal clutter. So, you know, all clutter is either a deferred decision or an incomplete action. If you think about it, anything that's around your house that you're looking at thinking, should that be there or do I really want that? It's a deferred decision or it's an incomplete action. So all external clutter reflects what's going on inside yourself. So inevitably, when I work with people, we start to get into all sorts of aspects of their lives. And that's why I describe myself as a coach, because as well as doing the practical stuff, we end up talking about and we end up sorting out all sorts of areas of people. You cannot clear your clutter. You cannot get rid of the stuff unless you take those actions and do, and make those decisions that you've been deferring, whether even if the decision is I'm not going to do that anymore, but then you can get rid of the stuff. And so I end up supporting people around their finances, their relationships, their health, their jobs, their whether they want to move home, you know, everything. It just gets into every aspect of people's lives.
Yeah, just like Albert Einstein says, you can't change the world with the same mind who created it.
True, yeah.
So you got to change the mindset. So are the clients that you work with, or hoarders, are they the, like the hoarders we see on TV?
I mean, some are, but not all by any means. So I work with people with all levels of clutter, from like hoarding at one extreme down like on the other extreme, being people who, you know, I might walk into the house and when I first walk in there, I think, I'm not really sure what I'm doing here. You know, like, it all looks fine to me. And then I start saying that, like, oh yeah, okay, there's some parts over there. And then they open a cupboard and it's like, oh, okay, right, it's all crammed in there, you know. But so really, like, right across the spectrum. And I also I have a lot of online products that people can engage with. So I don't always get to see exactly what my clients are dealing with because they're using one of my online products.
Oh, I see. Because that's my next question. Are you on site to these? Because you have to be local. You have to. You can't really globalize or go outside of a certain area. And how long does it take?
Okay, so, well, in answer to the first question, so, yeah, if people are within about, well, I mean, I'll go as far as they want me to go, but obviously people have to pay for my travel time. So I tend to work within about a 50 or 60 mile radius of my home for the face-to-face hands-on stuff. But then there's Skype and WhatsApp. And so I do consultations that way as well. And I've worked with people all over the world that way. You'd be surprised how effective that can be. And then I also have a whole series of online courses that people can do as self-learning that guide them through, for example, decluttering paper and paperwork or sentimental items or their bedroom, or I have one on digital decluttering even. So people can access those and do them in their own time as well.
Okay.
Oh, and how long does it take, you asked me? That is completely variable. So the reason why it varies, for a couple of reasons. It varies because different people work at different speeds. They work in different speeds in the moment. And then also some people will find decluttering can be very tiring, can be very mentally tiring because you're making all these decisions and making decisions about these actions that you've been deferring. So it can be quite exhausting. So some people find they can only do it in quite short bursts, like maybe even like 5 or 10 minutes at a time. Or I tend to recommend starting with about 2 hours at a time. But if that's too much, you might need to do less. If you can keep going, great, you know. But so people have different kind of thresholds for that. And then also it depends what's in the home. So sometimes people say to me, how long do you think it's going to take me to do this room? And I say, well, even if I knew what speed you were going to work at, I don't know what's in all those drawers. You know, you could open a drawer and it could have two big items in it. Or you could open a drawer and have a 150 tiny little items in it, each one of which you've got to go through. So it's very, very hard to predict. It's very hard. It's different for each person.
Yeah. And I can imagine decluttering being exhausting because you have to decide. There's that decision factor mm-hmm. that kicks in. It's like, what do you keep and what do you toss? What's sentimental? What is valuable?
Exactly. And physically tiring because you can be lugging boxes and bags up and downstairs and out to the trash. And, you know, like it can be physically tiring too. When I first started doing it, I used to be really stiff afterwards.
Yeah, trying to think what you know, what am I going to need a year from now? He's trying to think mm-hmm. into the future.
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
What's the most amazing thing you've ever found when decluttering someone's house?
A diamond.
They didn't even know it was there.
I was working unbelievably. We were on video. I very rarely would clients consent to be videoed and be put on YouTube, but this client was happy for me to make some videos and put them on YouTube. So it's on YouTube this moment where we found a diamond. We were doing her desktop and it loads of stuff on it. We took it all off on the floor and going through it one thing at a time. And I found this little baggie, you know, with something in it. And I handed it to her and she was like, it can't be. No. And I'm like, what? What is it? Mm-hmm. And it was not only was it a diamond, but it had double sentimental value. She had two raw diamonds that were family heirlooms. And she and her partner had used them to make like wedding rings. They weren't actually, you know, married in the church, but they made their own wedding rings and they'd that's what it represented for them. And then her diamond had dropped out of her ring. And at some point she'd put it in this little baggie and put it somewhere to be safe. And then she'd lost it. So we actually found a diamond that had double sentimental value. I couldn't believe it on video. It was amazing.
Wow. That great story. I mean, if it would have been lost forever if she didn't go through that. And if
she didn't know, she had no idea. You know, she'd given up on finding it. She'd lost it, I don't know, a long time before, a year or more before.
Yeah. And I can see how that would give her now a peace of mind, you know, that she found this one item that is so meaningful to her. Give us a little more clarity on how declutter and organizing saves money.
Well, when you are cluttered, you can't find anything. That is the thing that drives people the most bonkers about having clutter, is that they can never find anything. So you end up buying duplicates. You buy them either because you can't remember you've got something, or you know you've got it but you can't find it, or when you do find it, it's deteriorated or got damaged because it wasn't stored properly in all the clutter. So you end up saving loads of money. You stop wasting stuff and you use what you've got. And you can make money. You know, if you've got a lot of clutter and you're clearing through it, you could end up selling some of it, and you can end up making enough space that you can rent some of that space out. You know, if your spare room's empty, you can rent it out on Airbnb. If your loft's empty, you can rent it out on Storemates. If your garage is empty, you can rent out car parking space, you know?
That's true. Yeah, you can make money, not just save it. Mm-hmm. What about saving time?
Well, for similar reasons. So people waste a lot of time looking for stuff if they're cluttered and they don't know where everything is. So, and then if you, not only are they wasting the time looking for the stuff, but then if they're replacing the stuff, they're wasting the time going out and replacing stuff. When you've got a decluttered and organized home, you can lay your hand on what you want when you want it straight away. So you just become really efficient and productive.
Yeah, I love that, because I hate when I cannot find when anything that I need. Say it's a pair of shoes I decide to wear with an outfit. You know, I cannot find it because you're not organized or because you don't know where. Me too.
One of the most popular videos on my YouTube channel is my how to find the thing when you've totally and utterly gone and lost the thing.
Yeah, and it happens, and that's why we have to be habitual creatures. We have to mm-hmm. put things in the same place.
Yes, have a place for everything and everything in its place, right?
Yeah, so when you come in, you don't leave the shoes by the door, you don't throw them under the bed, you have a shoe rack, you go mm-hmm. ahead and place it there, and it's starting what you it's finishing what you started, right? So that you mm-hmm. know where to go get it. That way it alleviates the willpower of having mm-hmm. to search for it and having to make a decision to find an alternative, because
that's so true. I mean, that's another one of the reasons why I love to be decluttered and organized, is because it makes life so much easier. Like, I hate cleaning, So one of the reasons why I'm so tidy in my own home is because it makes cleaning easier. You know, it just makes life easier. So when you talk about developing a discipline, I think what happens is as we start to become declutter and organized, what happens when I see it with my clients, and it's certainly true for me, is you reach this point where you're just like, yeah, I like it this way because it works so much better. And so you want to keep it that way because you can see the results for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the best way to be disciplined, and we're going to segue into routines now. We're going to segue into habits. And I know you have a great morning routine that you want to share with us, but also it's helped your clients as well, because we need, as you said, to have things in a certain place. And that way, you know, the mind does that mind-body memory that just goes to it, where you don't have to think.
And exactly, and have routines for that reason too. So people sometimes think that a routine is like, it's too constraining. You know, what if I want to do something different? But the way I see it is like, it's okay. You can do something different. It's not like you have to stick to it. But if you've got that basic stuff in place, then you haven't got to make those decisions in the moment. And so things can just move much quicker and easier and less exhausting. You're just getting on with the routine. And yeah, sure, if life comes up, you adjust it when you need to. But it actually gives you freedom to have a routine.
Yes. And you know what the scary part is, Rachel? You already have a routine.
Yeah,
you don't know it because you're in this rut. You're in this routine of chaotic, and I'm going to search for this. I'm going to find that. That's your routine. That's how you really find things. That's how you get things done. It routines and habits form without our permission. Now, you can be intentional about it. And this is what the beauty is. This is where you come in as a coach. This is where I come in as forming a new habit and getting a routine in place, especially a morning routine. That way you can declutter your mind as well as your space.
That's so true. That's so true.
So tell us about how do you get up, dress up, and show up?
I like that way of putting it. So I have a very clear morning routine. And it includes doing a lot of stuff that I've put into my morning routine, because if I don't, it won't get done. So, you know, theoretically, I could do it some other time, but I don't. So, for example, I'm a singer. I have singing lessons and I need to do my singing practice. And when I first started my singing lessons, I thought, yeah, I'll do singing practice at some point in the day, you know. And then another lesson would come around. I haven't done any practice between the lessons. And in the end, I realized that the only way I was going to do my daily singing practice, which I want to do, is to put it in before breakfast. Mm-hmm. Get it done before breakfast. And now it gets done. It gets done almost every single day. If it doesn't get done, there's a reason. Like, I'm staying in a hotel and I can't disturb the people in the room next door. And if I'm at home doing my thing, my singing practice gets done. So that, and also some, I do a set of toning and stretching exercises every morning. So I get up, I do the basics, clean my teeth, kind of make a drink, and then I do my exercises, and then I sing, and then I have my breakfast, and then I also have some health stuff that I do, and I make sure that's all done around the same time, and then I'm ready to face the day. I get dressed, and I have my breakfast, and I'm ready to face the day. There's a couple of other little things around that. So, for example, and some of these, I do a weekly YouTube live, and I said yesterday that I was going to be on this podcast, and I asked people to share their morning tips, their tips for their morning routine. And Christine Mason shared something that reminded me of something that I do myself, but I wouldn't have thought to mention it. So, for example, we both have a like a weekly pill dispenser where you have a daily pot, you know, like a compartment for each day. So all my medications that I need to take are there. So when I wake up in the morning, I just take them, and I know that I've taken them because they've gone from that day. I don't find myself later in the day trying to remember if I took my medications or not. But that's another thing. I have everything set up the day before. Even I would even go so far as to choose my outfit the day before, to, if I'm going to take food with me, decide what I'm going to take and have everything laid out so I can quickly throw it together in the morning. Do as much as I possibly can the night before so I don't have to do it in the morning. And that includes, and this links to putting that stuff in that I put in the morning to make sure it gets done, that includes getting enough sleep. So because when I first started doing that singing practice in the morning, that meant I had to get up 1/4 hour each morning. And at first I was just really, really tired I was doing that. It took me quite a while to admit to myself that if I was going to get up 1/4 hour early in the morning, I had to go to bed 1/4 hour earlier every night. It's really important to get enough sleep. So if I notice myself struggling to get out of bed in the morning, I kind of give myself a little mental shake. I'm like, you've got to get to bed earlier. You've got to stop deferring going to bed. So getting enough sleep, I think, is really important for your morning routine as well. So yeah, so it's getting enough sleep. do as much as you can the night before. But then my morning routine, I put extra stuff into it to make sure that it gets done.
So meditation and singing.
I don't meditate, but it's toning and stretching exercises and stuff like that that I really want to make sure gets done.
Yeah, exercising, it is key, and it's great if you do it at the first thing in the morning because it energizes the body. It gives you the energy you need to get through the day, because how else are you going to survive a 12 to 14 hour day?
You know, that's really true. And when I started doing my exercises first thing like that, I did it because if I didn't do that, they didn't get done. But now, because that was like 15 years ago or something, I started doing that. Now, if I can't do them, if there's something that prevents me from doing them, I really miss it. You know, I really want to do those toning and stretching exercises in the morning because they get me moving. They get me energized. They really set me up for the day.
Yeah, get your blood flow going. I'm a big advocate for that. I have an app coming out because I've been doing the interviews with entrepreneurs, and I'm listening for the commonalities. I'm listening for the things that are common and that are do every entrepreneur is partaking in. And I found it. There's 9 items that each entrepreneur does that sets them apart from this determines their success or their failure. And I am bunching that in an application, and my listeners. My listeners will have access to it. It's called Hit Savers app, and exercise is one of them. And it's sleeping. You got to like do things the night before, because sleep is a crucial part of a healthy lifestyle.
It is a huge part of it. It's really important.
Yeah, you can do everything else we're talking about, but if you're sleep deprived, you really are not going to make it through the day.
And it's so easy to fool yourself on that one, to think, oh, well, you know, I'll just get this done, go to bed a bit later. You know, like it always feels like it's the thing that can be cut. And it really, really isn't.
It's not. And if you want to sleep in a little bit longer, Rachel, what I like is starting the night before, making sure you have, you can do as much the night before so that if you do sleep in, you're not kicking yourself in the butt.
Exactly.
Because you'll have your things prepped out, like clothes. And if you're working out, make sure your gym bag is ready. If you're going to work, make sure your shoes and your outfit is hanging up, so that way you can just jump right into it. Whatever you need, because you have willpower in the morning. It's when it's at the highest. But willpower is not at your will, because you lose it as the day progresses.
Yeah, I believe there's evidence that it's almost like it's a finite resource. Like it literally drains away, and you can't, if you're trying to be, say you're on a diet, you're trying to manage your eating, it's going to be harder for you to, I don't know, get up early and exercise. You know, it's hard. If you've got one thing draining your willpower, it's harder to achieve something else with it as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's why it's crucial that you give yourself no excuse. You need to make these little decisions in the morning.
And make it easy for yourself.
And so you focus, then you can focus on the important things like visualizing or planning the day, getting your goals set out and picturing how the day will actually plan and pan out.
So I think it's really important to be realistic as well. So when you are putting a lot of things into your morning routine, like I do, I've actually gone so far as to time how long it tends to take me to do, like how long does it actually take me to get started, get those exercises done, put them out away at the end? How long does it take me to go down to the lounge, get my music out, do my singing practice, put the music back and come out of the room? How long does that actually take? Because it's really easy to be unrealistic about how much you can do in the time. And the one that I think you absolutely should make a note of how long it takes is, I'm leaving now. So, you know, when you say, right, I'm off now, and then it's like a last trip to the toilet and you must put your coat on and get your shoes, you've got to put your shoes on and pick your bag up and make sure the lights are out and is the bathroom window shut? And, you know, you were leaving now and you do all the last minute things and it took another 15 minutes. And actually that happens every single day. So I think people who are habitually late, it's often because they haven't been realistic about how long all those last minute things take. It's really important to be realistic about how long each sort of compartment of your morning routine is going to take you.
I love that you bring that up, because I have 2 points around that. I used to be late all the time. I'm still working at it, because in my mind, it took me 15 minutes to get everywhere and anywhere. I can make it from Boston to New York in 15 minutes. In my mind, it really just did.
You run really fast, getting your exercise on the way.
It really never sinks in with me that I gotta be realistic about how long it's gonna be a 30-minute drive versus a 15-minute drive. And then I get on the road and hit traffic. You got a time for that too. And then I'm like, why is there traffic? Why is there so many people on the road? Because I should be already at my destination, but now I'm running late because I didn't give myself enough time to actually prepare and get out of the house on time. But that started to change when I started running marathons. When I start running marathon, I had a whole different perception on time because I'm on foot now. And I can say it's going to take me 10 minutes to run a mile. And then in reality, I'm having an off day. It takes 15 minutes.
And I bet you feel every one of those 15 minutes.
You
as well,
do.
Right?
You do. And then now I know a mile, if I'm walking, if it's just like me walking across town, I know it's going to take me longer. You know, I know the distance now. It just opens up a whole new way of looking at the sense of time that I have. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I talk about morning routine it does take some time. It will take, if you really are going through meditation and you are really exercising or stretching, or if you are reading, right, you want to get it out of the way. If you want to hydrate in the morning, if you want to do your goals, and if you want to write in your journal, these are all the things that are included in the app. These are all the things successful people are doing. It will take you anywhere from a half hour to an hour to complete all that. Yeah. So which
That's
means
true.
You got to get up earlier.
Which means you gotta go to bed earlier.
Which means you gotta go to bed earlier because it's a whole encompassing process. It's not just I'm gonna wake up 10 minutes before I have to leave the house and I'll hopefully accomplish all this stuff. And with the app, I found I have a way to hack your morning in 9 minutes, but that's just doing all the items I listed, 60 seconds each. That's if it worst comes to worse, you understand? And you don't have the time and you're rushing, you can spend 1 minute on each item.
Wow.
And it's better than nothing. But
it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. Getting your heart rate up, doing push-ups for 60 seconds. That will elevate your heart. That will give you, you will break a sweat. But it's no replacement for what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. Allotting the whole hour to actually get into the mindfulness, to actually calm down and stretch the body properly. And so, yes, the timing is, I'm glad you brought it up, it's crucial. Mm-hmm. Having a sense of timing so you are not tardy, but also you are taking care of yourself. Now, the app is going to allow people to do it in 9 minutes, nine action items done in 9 minutes. But I with every fiber in my being, believes that the minute they start doing it for 10 minutes a day, they will fall in love with the process. They will start seeing the benefits, the energy that they get throughout the day, the way they approach life, the clarity that they get, that it will be no problem to increase it to 20 minutes, to increase it to half hour.
I think that's really true because I think often when we are confronted and kind of overwhelmed by the thought of starting something, the best thing to do is just to start. And sometimes I trick myself. If I've got something to do and I'm like, oh God, I don't want to get into this. You know, sometimes I just say, oh, I'm just going to do 5 minutes. But I know that I'm not just going to do 5 minutes. But I tell myself that so that when I start and then the task kind of takes, it's never as hard as you think it's going to be. And then the task kind of takes over and I end up spending longer on it. And I often find that with my clients. I often will say, well, look, do you think you could do 5 or 10 minutes on Tuesday afternoon? And we set an actual time when they're going to do it so it doesn't become the 5 or 10 minutes that never happens. And then often people will say when I speak to them next, like, actually, I kept going and I did half an hour, I did an hour, you know. Because once you get started, it doesn't seem so bad. And you start to see the results and you want to keep going.
Yeah, you trick yourself. You trick yourself into actually doing it because that's how habits are formed. Because how do you eat an elephant, right?
One bite at a time.
So start small. Start with one thing on the list and then work your way up because then the brain needs time to catch up. That's what we don't understand the psyche. The way the brain works is like anything abrupt, any change it's going to pump its brakes because it wants to protect you. It's like, this is fight or flight. I need to protect you from this because it's happening. It's way too fast. There's a stress hormone that is released. But if you recognize that and says, you know, I got to ease into this. I got to take my time into this. Then it will be, it will become a habit and it will become part of your subconscious mind and you won't even think about it. You get up and then you do these things and it becomes part of your life.
And keep experimenting as well. I always say that to my clients too. Keep experimenting. So, you know, you can devise a morning routine. You can sit down and say, all right, I'm going to do this at this time and this at this time every single day. And if after a week it's really not working for you, then it's fine to revisit it, you know, and to keep on revisiting it. I tweak my morning routine all the time. You know, I'm always thinking, you know what, this could actually happen after breakfast, or this isn't getting done. I'm going to have to put it in before breakfast, or it isn't going to get done. Or, you know, actually, I can get that out the night before as well. You know, I'm always tweaking it. I'm always tweaking all my systems to make them work better. It's not like you have to create them and then have them set in stone. Just keep experimenting, keep playing with it to get it working better and better and better for you.
Absolutely. And I love the way you put that. Well said. Rachel, how do we connect with you?
The absolute best way to connect with me is to go to www.clutterfree30.com. And if you go there, you will get a free video course. It's a 7-part video course and it covers the 7 biggest clutter clearing mistakes and how to avoid them. So if anyone out there is struggling with their clutter, I guarantee they are making one, probably more, probably all of these 7 classic mistakes. And these are really short videos. They're like 1 or 2 minutes each. And they show you how to not make those mistakes. That's the absolute best way to find me. I'm also on all the social medias under Green and Tidy or under my name, Rachel Papworth. But that is the place to find me, clutterfree30.com.
Morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here first. This has been Rachel Papworth from England. Or it's England. It's been a joy having you on the show and talking about decluttering an organization. And I want to give my guests a couple of takeaway. Like, you really have to be realistic with yourself about what is it that you want and the importance of declutter. It's really going to save you a lot of time and money if you do this, because you won't have to buy things you cannot find that you already own. And saving you time, because again, the energy of looking for things, it's attacking your willpower, because you have to constantly... you're constantly looking for something. If it's a chaotic house, a chaotic home, then it will be a chaotic mind, a chaotic mind frame, which is affecting your peace of mind. And so, Rachel, do you have anything else you want to add up to sum it up for our guests, like the beauty and the need for declutter to liberate their lives?
When your home works, your life works. When your home is efficient and productive, you don't even notice that it's doing it, but it acts as the strong foundation that lets you get out there and be everything you want to be in the world.
Very nice. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Rachel.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
It has. Well, have a great day now.
And you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.